Good morning. If you'd like to go ahead and open up your Bibles to Philippians chapter 2, that's where we'll be spending a majority of our time in Scripture this morning. Philippians chapter 2. Excuse me. I'd like to start off by thanking you for the opportunity to be here, the opportunity to worship with you, and also the opportunity to worship with you consistently for the foreseeable future. I look forward to the time we spend together and hope that we can encourage each other. I look forward to doing my best to encourage all the Christians here as in our pursuits to be pleasing to God and to live a life pleasing to Him. And I also look forward to opportunities to be encouraged by you as well. And I'd like to start by thanking the gentlemen who've already participated in worship this morning for participating on the Lord's table, for the young gentleman who read scripture for us this morning, and for Connor leading songs for us this morning. All has been good worship this morning so far, and I hope that the lesson this morning, the thoughts that we share, will be encouraging to us as we go out into the week as well. This morning, I'd like to talk to us about the Christ-like spirit. That's what I've titled the sermon, the Christ-like spirit, humility like Jesus. A while back ago, I had the opportunity to do a Bible class and to really take the time to dive in deep to the book of Philippians, or the letter of Philippians. And there were several lessons that were very significant to me, and one of those I'd like to share with us this morning to encourage us as we go into the week, and that has to do with emulating Christ. We know as disciples, emulating Christ is something that we do already. That is our livelihood. We've talked about in the past when we've had Bible classes here together about discipleship and times when Jesus is talking to people about discipleship, about he's teaching them, these are ways that you can be followers of me and be pleasing to me in doing so. And I'd like to talk to you about another way we can do that this morning, away from the book of Matthew this morning. So I'd like to first to start by reading Philippians. And before we read this section of text, I'd like to give us some context for the letter first. Paul is writing to a church in Philippi that has elders and deacons here. He has a deep relationship with these saints, united in the fellowship of spreading the gospel. So this is a church that also is very passionate about spreading the gospel, and he has a very deep relationship with them. And through this letter, he has been encouraging them as a body to be united in spirit and to strive together for the faith of the gospel so far. And now at this point in the letter, in chapter 2, he's going to shift his focus to the saints as individuals. Before, so far in chapter 1, he's already been talking to them as a group. Now he's going to talk to them all as individuals. And I'd like for us to consider a similar message that he gave to them for us ourselves this morning. Let's start by reading Philippians chapter 2, starting in verse 1. So if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord, and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The key phrase I'd like for us to focus on this morning is have this mind among yourselves. This is going to be the focus of our lesson this morning. What is this mind that Paul is encouraging all of them to have as individuals? In other words, he's encouraging them to be like Jesus. Again, verse 1. If there's any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, and being in full accord and of one mind. If you read from a different translation, the NIV reads being one in spirit. And the New American Standard says united in spirit. In other words, he's saying, I want you to share a soul. And I want you to share a soul with Jesus. He gives, from verse 5 to the end of verse 11, he gives Jesus as an example, and he also explains why Jesus is the standard, why Jesus is the name that we confess as Lord, and why we give honor and glory to him. But he's calling us all to be like Jesus. He's calling us to have the same mind, the same love, and to be united in spirit, being one in spirit, to be humble in verse 3, and he's also encouraging us to care about others. God wanted them, the Philippians, and he wants us to have this mindset, to be of the same mind, have the same love, to be united in spirit, to be humble, and to care about others more than we care about ourselves. How do we achieve this? This is a tall task. I mean, these are tough things to do. And maybe some days we do good at doing these. I feel like I'm really selfless and I'm focused on the other people around me. But the truth is, it's really hard to maintain that each and every day. How do we do that? How do we develop this within ourselves so that this becomes a part of who we are? How do we develop this? How do we become more like Christ in this way? I'd like to suggest that the answer to this question lies in studying the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of Christ himself. Studying the Holy Spirit teaches us about the Christ-like Spirit, teaches about Christ himself and what he was like. And today, this study will teach us how to apply Christ's Spirit to ourselves and enable us to learn and to have this mindset that Paul wrote about that God wants us to have, that we may be more like Christ. The Bible speaks of the Holy Spirit in many ways. The two ways that are most relevant to today's subject is that the Holy Spirit, like the actual Spirit of God, and his influence on us. In other words, we're talking about Scripture. The Holy Spirit, we know from Scripture, was responsible for getting us the mind of God. And by us taking the time to study it and to understand God better and applying it, we're allowing the Holy Spirit to have influence over us. And that is one way that the Bible talks about the Holy Spirit. But another way that's also relevant for this morning is in the way that it talks about the individual spirit of a person. And in this case, we're talking about the individual spirit of Christ. What was Christ like as a person? And we're going to take some time to study that this morning. If you would, turn over with me to Ephesians chapter 5. Excuse me. Ephesians chapter 5. And let's read verse 18. Paul wrote, "And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ." In verse 18, Paul wrote to the Ephesians to be filled with the Spirit. If Paul is telling them to be filled with the Spirit, there is a sense in which the Holy Spirit can fill us up. It can fill us up. Last time I was here, if I remember correctly, I talked about how we could be filled with the Holy Spirit or we could be filled with Satan. And I used the illustration of a cup. And when you take that cup and you fill it with water, eventually it's going to overflow. But if you take a different substance and you begin to pour that into the same substance, one is going to be pushed out of the other. And we talked about, what are you filling your spiritual cup with? And we made application to being filled with the Holy Spirit. And that certainly applies again today. If Paul tells us, told them to be filled with the Spirit, we certainly can. Paul wouldn't tell us to do something. God wouldn't give us something to do that is impossible for us to do. So how is that possible? How does that work? A parallel passage that runs alongside Ephesians chapter 5 is Colossians 3, if you would turn with me there. Colossians chapter 3. In Colossians 3, Paul's talking about the same subject, but he's talking about it in a different way to a different group of people. And to this group, he says in verse 16 of chapter 3 of the letter of Colossians, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." These are parallel passages talking about the same thing, but in different ways. And when we combine them together, we see that Paul says, you let the Holy Spirit fill you up by letting the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Again, we just talked about the Holy Spirit can fill us up by our study of God's word. The Holy Spirit is the mind of God and it has taken the time to write down God's thoughts to all these individual groups. And when we look at the Old Testament, it was the mind of God for the Israelites to know this is what God wants you to do. And when we take the time to study it and apply it to our lives, we are allowing God, we are allowing the Holy Spirit to influence us and to shape us to be who we ought to be. When we let the word of Christ dwell on us richly and we live by it, we are letting the Holy Spirit fill us. We let the Holy Spirit mold us and shape our spirit into one that is just like Christ's, as we let the word of Christ mold our hearts, thoughts, and and actions. And in this way, the Holy Spirit can fill us up, and we're becoming more and more like him. Another, we see this also emphasized in 1 Corinthians, if you turn with me there. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. In 1 Corinthians 6, in verse 17, we read, "But he who is joined together to the Lord becomes one spirit with him." All of us who are born again Christians in this room, when we were baptized and we rose again from the waters of baptism and we became that new creature, we were joined together with Christ in spirit. In order to do that and to understand why you're doing that, you have to have some knowledge of the Bible, and our knowledge is to be growing. But when we became Christians, we joined ourselves to the Lord in spirit, and he lives in us. The more we study his word and the more we try to become like him, Christ lives in us. And this idea is carried further in verse 19. Paul wrote, "Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price, so glorify God with your body." Again, the idea is your body is a temple. The temple in the Old Testament was a place where God could dwell among his people in their community. And now, under the New Testament, when we're joined to the Lord, our body is the temple. Christ is within us through the Holy Spirit within us. Our body is a temple for the Holy Spirit to fill us up. And the more we let that fill us up, the more we become like Christ. And this, of course, calls us to study our Bibles, that we may know what God wants of us and that we can practice what he's asked us to do. The temple is supposed to be a place where God can dwell with his people, and in this case, it is literally inside of us. We also see in the book of Romans where the Holy Spirit can be a part of us and how that influences us, and we allow Christ to be within us. Turn over with me to Romans chapter 8. In Romans chapter 8, let's start in verse 1. "There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do, by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin. He condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." Again, that's kind of setting the tone for this chapter. This is assuming this is someone who is a Christian and who is walking according to the Spirit. And then we jump down to the section of text that the young gentleman this morning read for us to guide our minds in the scripture reading. Chapter 8 and verse 9. "You," again, this is someone who's already a Christian, who's walking according to the Spirit. And Paul adds this to explain. "You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you." Brethren, it is clear from Scripture we can have the Holy Spirit within us. And having the Holy Spirit in us is equated to having Christ in us. I think at times we can be bogged down and we can be discouraged. How am I ever going to be as good as Christ? That's not the right question. We will never be as good as Christ. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We've already proven that we're not as good as Christ. But we're living a new life now, a life where we are striving to be as much like Christ as we possibly can. We will never be Christ, but we are striving to be like him as much as we possibly can. For someone with their mind set on the Spirit, they have the Spirit of Christ in them. What's another way of thinking about this? We think about relationships we have in our culture. Again, think about a father and a son. Someone may come up to the son and say, "You know, I see your father in you." Well, why do we say that? We say that because the son has spent so much time near his father that he's taken attributes and characteristics of his father, and they've become a part of who he is. While he's different, he is a different individual, they can still be similar. They can share a similar spirit together by being in close proximity to each other and trying the son emulating his father. as the Father sets the example for him and as the Son grows up. And in the same way, this is how we can be like Christ. We need to be spending time with Christ, near him, that we can look at him and see what he's like and take on some of his attributes for ourselves, that we can let the Holy Spirit fill us up. And we do that by studying God's word, understanding the mind of God, practicing it. And through doing this, we allow the Spirit of Christ to fill us up and we become more like him through practice. Again, think back to 1 Corinthians 7. Our body is a temple, and we are joined together to the Lord when we became Christians. I also want to emphasize that the Holy Spirit can be shared within relationships. Turn over with me into the Old Testament, the letter of Malachi. In 1 Corinthians 6, verse 17, we read that when we became Christians, we were joined together with Christ in spirit. Here in Malachi, in the letter of Malachi, in chapter 2, in verse 15, we see written, "Did he not make them one with a portion of the Spirit in their union? And what was God seeking? Godly offspring. So guard yourselves in your spirit, and let none of you be faithless to the wife of your youth." What does that have to do with what we're talking about? Here in this context, we see that between a husband and wife, God joins them together in spirit. And I point out the scripture for us just to see we can be unified to others in our spirit. In the case of Philippians, as we're studying this morning, if we're all trying to be like Christ, we are joined together in spirit. For those of us who are married in the room and have a spouse, we are joined together in spirit. Scripture teaches us that. Through our spirit, our spirits, we can be joined together, united together. Our spirit can be shared in relationships with each other. Imagine every relationship that you currently have with people. What allows you to maintain these relationships? For those of you who are married, what allows you to maintain your relationship with your spouse? What about friends? What allows you to maintain that relationship you have with a friend? What about a brother or a sister in a family? What about someone you work with? What allows you guys to maintain these relationships? I'd like to suggest this morning that being godly in some way, that is how we maintain relationships. Caleb, what do you mean by that? Well, let me change the question. In every relationship, take God out of your relationship. If someone wants to claim that they don't believe in God and that they don't need to be godly in order to have good and meaningful relationships, okay, do you realize what you're saying? In order to be godly, that means you no longer get to be respectful to each other, being kind, doing things for each other, helping, supporting each other. All these things are qualities that God teaches us to do. You take all that away, you say you're not going to be godly, how long do you think that relationship is going to last? Do you want to be around people who don't respect you, who mistreat you? Growing up, we see this all the time with our siblings. I don't like my little brother over there, so I'm going to stay away from him. I don't like being around him because he does is try to irritate me, not being respectful. For those of us who are married, again, between your spouse, times you've had arguments and you've struggled between the two of each other, what's going on? One or both of you are maybe being less than we ought to be, and that causes problems. Godliness allows us to be unified together. Taking God out of our relationships destroys our relationships. Consider all the relationships we see in the Bible. You have God and the sinner. Again, why is that relationship damaged to begin with? Why do we need God? A fundamental question for anyone who has not heard the gospel and that we have to teach them. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and the wages of our sin is death, eternal death. John in his epistles teaches that sin is transgression of the law. We have offended God. We have transgressed his law, and in doing so, we have not respected him as our creator, and we have separated ourselves from him. That relationship was damaged because of our sin. Thankfully, God has provided a way which we can renew that relationship. And we do that by obeying him, becoming Christians, but also in living that life faithfully, being faithful to God in our relationship with him. It is so important. Anyone who wants to tell you that all you have to do is believe in Jesus and that's all you have to do, they're leaving out a crucial part of being right with God. God is just like anybody else. You need to treat him with respect for who he is. He is your creator, and so we must respect him as such. We must do what he says is good and what he would have us do. He wants us to be like Christ. We need to be doing that. If we're not doing that, we're not respecting him as our creator. And in doing so, we slowly separate ourselves from him. But when we do act as he would have us do, we do become more like us. We become closer and closer to him. Again, you take the godliness out of your relationship with God, and suddenly you're separating yourself from him. The more we become like Christ, the closer we get to him. Just like in our relationships with each other. What about other relationships in the Bible? Again, the husbands and wife in Ephesians 5. Take the godliness out of that relationship. What is that going to be a good, healthy, enjoyable relationship? No. Children and parents. We learn these lessons. Parents learn these lessons with their children. The children don't know any better, and they have to learn to mature and to give respect and honor to their parents. That's why we're taught to honor our father and our mother. But it is a learning process for the parents who many times can feel disrespected by the children because they don't know any better. And yet, as the children grow up, you oftentimes see children grow closer to their parents when they grow to be good people. They grow to be like God. But when they grow further away from God, again, they can damage their relationships with their parents. And also in Ephesians 6, we see between servants and masters, they are taught to treat each other with respect. The servants are to serve their masters, as unto the Lord. They're worshiping, let me rephrase that. They serve their masters out of worship to God. They don't worship their masters, but they serve their masters in worship to God. And masters are to treat their slaves with respect as well, as workers, as brothers in Christ. All relationships are impacted by the godliness of the individuals within them. Emulating, having, and practicing a Christ-like spirit can only make all of our relationships better. The ability to emulate Christ and his spirit is part of what makes us in the image of God. God created us different than all the other creation. We are able to understand it. We are told that we are created in his image. What does that mean? And I don't know all the answers to that question. But one way that I do believe that we are made in the image of God is our ability to be and to look like God. Christ was God on earth. And we are called to be like Christ, emulate him as much as we possibly can. We do that by studying God's word, and trying to study Christ, be around him more, and let him influence us in our actions and our thoughts and our character, that we become more like him. So with all that in mind, let's take this back to Philippians chapter 2. In Philippians 2, again, let's read verses 1 through 4. So if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. These are all things that we ought to be doing. But we can only do this when we're trying to be like Christ. Literally, Paul wrote in verse 5, have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. Jesus is this way. Have this mind in yourselves that is just like Jesus. That you can encourage others. You can look for any opportunity to encourage others. That you can comfort other people from love. When it comes to worship, participating together in the Spirit, we're doing that this morning by worshiping God. When we sing praises, when we partake of the Lord's Supper, when we try to stimulate each other to good works and to love, help each other grow, we are here participating in the Spirit this morning, trying to grow more faithful to Christ, to grow to be more like him. We're all doing the same thing here. We're all participating in the Spirit in this way. And then also showing affection and sympathy to each other. All these things are things we do when we are filled with the Christ-like Spirit and we are constantly trying to develop and nurture this within ourselves. Now that points the finger back to us. What do we do with this? Do I encourage people? Do I look for opportunities to encourage people? If I'm being filled with Christ and I'm trying to be like him, I should be looking for those opportunities to encourage people. What about comforting other people? Do I comfort? Am I a comforting person? Do people know me as a comforting person? Am I looking for opportunities to comfort someone? If I'm being filled with Christ and my mission is to be like him, like I'm called to do here in Philippians, I'll be looking for opportunities to comfort people. What about participating in the Spirit? Have you ever had a time when you didn't want to go to church? You didn't want to go to Wednesday night Bible study because maybe you're tired or something else is really on your mind? Those things happen, and it's hard. But we're robbing ourselves of an opportunity to participate in the Spirit with each other like we're called to do. If I'm growing the Christ-like Spirit within myself, I need to be looking for opportunities to participate in the Spirit with other people. When we have singings together, I should want to go sing with the brethren, sing to our Lord. I want to go worship with the brethren. I want to go worship our God, looking for opportunities to worship. Maybe even creating more opportunities for us to worship our God. Someone who is filled with the Christ-like Spirit has this quality within themselves, and then also showing affection and sympathy. Am I looking for opportunities to be affectionate to people, to do kind things for them, to count them as more important than myself? So what are your needs? How can I help you today? How can I sympathize with you when you're struggling, to help you as we are to help each other? If I'm allowing the Christ-like Spirit to grow within myself, I'm going to be looking for all of these opportunities. We do these things by all of us having the same mindset, that we would do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility we count others more significant than ourselves, that we'd look not only for our own interests, but also the interest of others, that we would have the mind of Christ Jesus within ourselves. We need to be challenging ourselves each and every day. Ask yourself a few questions. Am I going to be like Jesus today, or am I going to be like myself? Am I going to be humble today like Jesus was? Am I going to care about other people, or am I going to care about myself? The only way we can achieve this mindset is with the Holy Spirit. If we are being filled with it and we are allowing him to fill us up, by allowing him to fill us up, we can have this mindset that we are called to have. And when we're all doing this, we can all be filled with the same mind. We can all be filled with the same love. And we can all be united in spirit as Paul wrote here. We all need to be practicing being like Christ. And when we all do it, we all are united in spirit. And of course, through verses 5 through 11, we have Jesus' example here, the standard. Jesus is the standard. I'm not the standard. You are not the standard. Jesus is the standard. And what did Jesus do? He humbled himself to the point of death, even death on a cross, gave up his place in heaven to come to earth, to be crucified, and to rise again that we can be forgiven of our sins. He cared about the whole world. He cared about the whole world more than he cared about himself. And there was even a point for him to turn back. In John 17, in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus is praying, tears of blood driving down his head. Lord, if there's some other way, please let there be another way. But no matter what, your will be done. He had an opportunity to turn back, and yet he still cared about the world more than he cared about himself. Jesus is the standard. Let us try to be like him. As we leave here this morning, I encourage all of us to go back and read this passage, Philippians 2, verses 1 through 11. But I want to challenge you to do this. Read this passage, and when you get to verses 5 through 11, instead of reading Jesus, insert your name there. Does it match? If it doesn't match, we've got some work to do. And this is a trick question because it's not going to match. And that's the point. We need to be like Jesus. Be like Jesus. It can only make our lives, it can make all of our relationships better. And this morning, we've touched on it briefly, but if you're not a Christian here this morning, you have a relationship with God, whether you know it or not. God wants to have a relationship with you, and we've all rejected him again when we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But we need to understand God wants us. He wants us to have a relationship with him, and he wants to be in heaven with him, and you can have that relationship with him. But there are some things you need to do, and there are people here who'd be willing to study with you, and at the very least, I'd be willing to study with you. if you want to have a relationship with God in which you can have eternal life, you need to understand this is going to require some changes in your own life where you can focus on living a life in a relationship with God where you can be pleasing to Him. That is what we're all trying to do here this morning, to grow in our faithfulness to God and to grow more pleasing to Him. And I hope we've all been encouraged by these thoughts this morning, trying to be like Christ. But if you want to learn more about how you can begin this life, why don't you come as we stand and sing this election?